right. So this perpetual stew thing you were asking about, it's actually pretty cool when you think about it. Having this like ever-evolving meal, you know,
Yeah.
just a pot of goodness simmering away, adding a little something new each day. We've got that recipe you're curious about, the one by Frank from the Breda community. And we also pulled in some expert analysis on the whole perpetual stew idea.
Yeah, Frank's recipe is a really solid place to start. And that BBC World Service program he got inspired by, the one about perpetual cooking, it just goes to show you, right? Like this whole technique, it's not just some trendy thing. It's got some serious history behind it.
You know what? I never thought about it like that. I always pictured perpetual stew as something like medieval, you know, but it's more than just a gimmick, I guess.
Totally. It's resourceful. I mean, think about it. The stew changes over time using whatever ingredients are in season. It's actually pretty clever when you realize it's all about preserving food and getting the most flavor out of what you have.
Before we get into all the, you know, the really important food safety stuff, because that's got to be a big deal with a stew that simmers for so long. Can you give us the rundown on Frank's recipe? Like, what's at the heart of it?
So he starts with a really traditional base, kind of like what you'd find in a boeuf bourguignon, if you're familiar with French cooking. He browns the meat, could be beef chuck, pork shoulder, something like that, just to build those deep, savory flavors. And then he adds the aromatics, you know, the classics. Onions, garlic, and those hearty veggies that can handle a long cook time. Carrots, celery, potatoes, that kind of thing.
Sounds amazing already. And I can definitely see how the perpetual part comes in, right? You're layering flavors on top of those foundational ingredients.
Exactly. And here's where it gets even more interesting. Every single day, Frank adds a new element to the mix. Like on day two, he adds mushrooms and spinach, which, by the way, not only adds to the flavor, but it's a smart way to sneak in some extra nutrients too.
Okay, you got me hooked. Tell me more. What other tricks does he have up his sleeve? Anything surprising in his 2-week plan?
Oh, you better believe it. Day eight is where things get really wild. He throws in, get this, apples and raisins. It sounds kind of strange, but that touch of sweetness against all those savory flavors, it adds this whole other layer of complexity that I think you'll really dig.
Apples and raisins in a stew. Okay, see, this is why I love this concept. It's definitely not your average recipe. All right, so we've got this amazing sounding stew going, but I know there's more to it than just like tossing in whatever you want every day. You got to talk food safety, especially when you've got something simmering for that long.
Yeah, you really got to be on top of food safety with this kind of thing. It's not like, you know, a quick simmer. We're talking about days here. You got to be careful, or you're basically giving bacteria a playground to multiply like crazy.
Right, yeah, that's what I figured. So,
Yeah.
okay, keeping the pot simmering on low. That's not going to cut it then. Like, what are we actually risking here? What if someone just, like, followed Frank's recipe exactly as is?
See, the big problem is that some bacteria, they produce these toxins that heat can't always destroy. So even if you're cooking the stew, those toxins, they might be sticking around. And you know, the longer you leave food sitting out, especially at those lower temperatures, the more those bacteria are going to multiply. Frank's recipe uses a regular crock pot, and honestly, those things aren't really made for that kind of constant use. I mean, there's a chance the appliance itself could give out, or worst case scenario, it could even be a fire hazard if you leave it unattended too long.
Oh, wow. Okay. Not really the kind of culinary adventure I was going for. So, is the idea of perpetual stew just a beast then? Should we all just stick to making our stews in one go?
Not at all. It's totally doable. We just got to be smart about it, you know? We just need to take what the experts say and tweak things a little to make sure this perpetual stew is as safe as it is tasty.
Okay, I like the sound of that. Lay it on me. How do we make this work then?
The number one rule, no exceptions, is you got to cool and reheat that stew every single day. Think of it like this. Every day, you're hitting the reset button on any bacteria that might be trying to grow. So once you've served yourself, cool the stew down fast. It helps to put it in the shallow container so it cools quicker and get it straight into the fridge. Then, when you're ready for round two, heat it up nice and hot. Make sure it comes to a rolling boil. That way, you know you're killing off any unwanted guests.
So no more just letting it simmer on the stove all the time. It's like a daily heating and cooling cycle.
You got it. And here's another thing, portion control. Don't go making one giant pot for the whole week, all right? Split that recipe up, make smaller batches, heat up just what you're going to eat that day. That way, you're limiting the amount of time the stew's sitting at that risky temperature.
This is making a lot more sense now. Okay, so what about the crock pot situation? You were saying they're not really ideal for this whole perpetual thing, right?
Exactly. Most regular crock pots just aren't designed for that kind of around-the-clock use. But Hey, if you really get into this whole perpetual cooking thing and you're going to be making it a regular part of your life, then it might be worth investing in a commercial grade slow cooker. They're built for this kind of thing, with all these safety features that make them perfect for long, slow cooking.
Good to know. So to sum it all up, heating and cooling daily, smaller batches, and maybe an equipment upgrade if we're feeling fancy. Anything else we should keep in mind on this perpetual stew journey of ours?
Don't forget, those flavors, they're going to get stronger every day as it cooks, so keep an eye on your seasoning. Always have a taste before you go adding more salt or spices, especially later in the week. You don't want to end up with a stew that's too salty or spicy.
Good point. It'd be easy to get carried away, especially with all those exciting new flavors going in there each day.
And of course, use the freshest ingredients you can get your hands on. That goes for the everyday additions too. We're trying to boost the flavor here, not accidentally create a science experiment, right?
Yeah, safety first. So we've talked a lot about all the things we need to be careful of, but can we talk for a sec about just how fun and creative this whole thing is? I mean, Frank's recipe already has me drooling, but the possibilities are kind of endless here, aren't they? Seriously, right? Frank's recipe is just like the jumping off point, isn't it? If someone wants to get creative with their perpetual stew, but still be, smart about it, what are some things they could try?
Oh man, the possibilities are huge. Once you've got that whole safety thing down, it's really all about experimenting with different flavors. Like you could do a Moroccan-inspired stew, maybe with lamb and dried apricots, a little cinnamon and ginger, something like that. Or switch it up completely, go South American, use a Itaji Amarillo peppers and cilantro, start with a chicken or vegetable broth.
Now, those are some tasty ideas.
Yeah.
It's like every time you make this stew, it could be a completely new experience.
Exactly. And don't feel like you have to stick to, just one type of cuisine. Think about what's in season. In the fall, you could throw in some butternut squash and sage, maybe. Summertime, fresh tomatoes and basil all the way. Honestly, the only limit is your imagination.
This is why I'm so into this whole concept. It's not just a recipe, it's a whole different way of thinking about cooking.
I know, right? It really gets you thinking outside the box. And it reminds me of other foods that use that same kind of perpetual process. Sourdough bread, for example, that relies on a starter that you have to keep feeding, right? You're basically taking care of this little colony of microbes that just make the bread more flavorful and complex over time.
Wow, yeah, I see what you mean. I'll be honest, sourdough always seemed kind of intimidating to me, but the way you're describing it, it's like less scary,
Yeah.
more like perpetual stew, something that develops and changes over time.
Totally. There are definitely similarities there. And that's what I love that this whole perpetual cooking thing, it makes you look at food in a new way,
Yeah.
You learn to enjoy the process and appreciate what happens when you're patient and pay attention to the details.
I love that. Well, folks, there you have it. Perpetual stew, culinary adventure, or a recipe for disaster. With a little expert advice and some careful planning, it's an adventure worth taking, for sure. And hey, you never know, maybe this will inspire you to discover a whole world of perpetual cooking out there.